Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Reaction Monday from the Twin Peaks Studios on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Keeping Texas chill. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Nick Caserio met with the media on Friday to talk about the firing of David Culley and a bunch of things. He sat for about a half hour talking about a number of topics. He'll talk with us tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour, 7:30, 7, so about 25 hours from now. He will join us on the show. Here was Nick Caserio when he was asked, I'm acting like people are going to put a countdown clock in their kitchen or something.
I'm just thinking, like, what if we get Caserio at 7:30 and it's like sounds like he just rolled out of bed or something? I was like, oh, sorry guys. All of a sudden, our image would be so blown of Nick Caserio.
Dude, there's zero chance. He'll have been up for 4 hours already.
I know. I assume he's already like run a triathlon or something.
Yes. Yeah. Here was Nick Caserio on Friday when he was asked. Because it's been speculated that the availability of certain candidates, Brian Flores, may have led to the firing of David Culley. Here was Nick Caserio on, did available candidates affect David Culley's employment?
Yeah, those are independent entities. I don't think you make said decision based on, well, all of a sudden something has changed or something is different. I think you just have to first start with your situation, evaluate it, make an honest assessment, make the decision, and then if that so happens to be in conjunction with other things that happened during the league, that's kind of out of our control. It's out of my control. So I would say, to answer your question, that's really not the criteria with which the lens through which you look and make those decisions.
Was it a factor at all for you in taking the several?
No, I would say you have to look at everything as an independent entity. I think we're taking the information here about the Houston Texans, where we are, rearview mirror, here are the things that would happen. Moving forward, what's ahead, what's the best thing for us, and that's what we did.
All right, so that was Brandon Scott was the one who asked that question. Brandon Scott, who is our digital guru here at Sports Radio 610. Here's where they are on their list so far, Seth. Get your thoughts on these. Brian Flores interviewed within hours after that press conference on Friday. Like our afternoon show had not gotten off the air yet, and Brian Flores had already been reported to have interviewed with the Houston Texans for the job. So there's definitely interest there. In Brian Flores, not a big surprise. Fired Miami coach who spent a decade and a half working with Caserio in New England in various capacities, too. I think that's important. He was in scouting for a while, personnel, and then coaching for the last decade or so. The other names are interesting. There's been three names that have been reported to have interviewed so far, and these have been reported by the team. Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers, about whom I don't know very much other than he's Vince Lombardi's grandson. True story. And then Hines Ward, who I think everybody, if you're listening to the show, you know who Hines Ward is. He was a really good wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a number of years. Seth, I will admit, did not know Hines Ward was even in coaching these days. He's a position coach at Florida Atlantic University.
Right. So you went through a bunch of guys there already. I think that just to go back to the first thing you said, which is in that Caserio addressed, I believe that Brian Flores becoming available wasn't the thing that sparked the firing of David Culley. I do think that the quote unquote evaluation period was probably more about the Texans analyzing, okay, where are we with Davis Mills and in the life cycle of this team? And are we now a place that viable coaching candidates would be interested in? As opposed to maybe last year when people were really nervous and apprehensive about what the Texans even were at that point. Are our candidates that we interview actually going to want to come here? And I think they felt good about both those situations. So Flores ends up being good to add to the mix, but you're not going to make that decision without the owner approving it.
Sure.
And that's the one area, as much as Cal McNair is trying to be hands off with Nick Caserio, generally the owners want to have a pretty good feel about their head football coach. And Cal's not going to mess with tampering and interviewing Brian Flores while he was still a coach of the Dolphins last year or anything. So I think that was coincidental. Maybe it ends up being a happy coincidence. Hines Ward, I guess I would put in that same bucket as Josh McCown. I think they're probably getting a feel for this guy and maybe keeping an eye on him for the future. And I think that Caserio will probably do that. I expect him to interview a bunch of people, many of whom he might not really think have a chance of getting the head coaching job, but they just he wants to educate himself and he wants to learn more about these guys. But I think also they mentioned, he talked about the Steelers a lot at length on Friday. And when the Steelers were interviewing Mike Tomlin, the Rooneys were not expecting to hire Mike Tomlin. They didn't really look at him as an actual candidate necessarily. They just wanted to get a feel for him because he'd come highly recommended. And Tomlin ended up blowing him away. So I think that Caserio is genuinely trying to keep an open mind about who might be the best coach for this team.
Yeah, let's hear that. Here's Nick Caserio. This is in response to a question by Brian T. Smith about blue blood franchises, you know, the Packers, the Steelers. He listed a few others. How do you get to that level? And Nick Caserio, after a fairly long answer, shared Mike Tomlin and the Steelers as a specific example that I thought might be greasing the skids for names like Hines Ward, names like Gerard Mayo. Here was Caserio on Friday.
I mean, nobody respects what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done more than myself. And when you look at Coach Tomlin, I mean, you look at the organization, right? Basically three coaches over the course of the Rooney ownership, right? They went from Chuck to Bill to Mike. And when Mike was hired, Mike was a coordinator for 1 year in Minnesota, right? He was 30-something years old, maybe 31 years old, whatever it was. And at the time, I don't think people knew, like, okay, Mike Tomlin is going to be not have a losing season in 15 years. I think the Rooneys saw Mike Tomlin and said, you know what? That's our guy. We believe in him, and we're going to give him the runway and the opportunity. And, I mean, look, Mike's as good of a coach, I would say as good of a leader as there is, and forget about sports, probably in, like, organizational behavior.
Yeah, so that's Caserio on Tomlin. And as soon as he told that story, I tweeted within 3 seconds, like, feels like the skids are being greased for Gerard Mayo right there. Unconventional candidate, limited body of work, but who, through his sheer force of personality, wows a decision maker into giving them the head coaching job. And I don't want to make it sound like, you know, that Tomlin was there like some charlatan. Like, Tomlin overwhelm them with just his ethos, you know, like just his whole vibe.
I think that
it's worked out well.
By the way, Nick dropped that organizational psychology reference. That's a Jack Easterby specialty area. The organizational psychology, the emotional intelligence, the different types of people that are in different parts of an organization. Right. That's one of the things that Jack Easterby has learned really well. And especially, I think it's kind of common in Fortune 500 areas, but when you step into a football environment and drop it on somebody's head, they're blown away by how intelligent you are with it. So I think you're on the right track there, Sean, especially because way back when, before anybody was talking about Gerard Mayo as a head coaching candidate, a story in the Houston Chronicle curiously dropped out of nowhere about Gerard Mayo.
I reread it this weekend.
As a potential head coaching candidate. And
it's like a 4,000-word infomercial for Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you guys will crush Landry and Lopez for getting into conspiracy theories and whatnot. That one has a lot of legs to it that Jack Easterby's been pushing Gerard Mayo for a long time. So, yes, I think Gerard Mayo, and by the way, I'll give a tip of the cap to Jack Easterby because I think it's actually worked out pretty well. I don't see people writing about Gerard Mayo nationally expressing any skepticism about it.
Right.
They're like, yeah, it's a good idea. I think they put it out there. They planted the Colonel a couple years ago, and Mayo took an interview or two last year. I think it's out there in the psyche of writers and in some fan bases to where that seems like, oh, yeah, this guy that's never been a coordinator, he's only been a coach for 3 years. Sure, that makes sense.
He's scheduled to interview with the Denver Broncos. He may have already. I know he's on Denver's radar. He is on the Denver Bronco interview list, Gerard Mayo is. That I know.
You know, Jack Del Rio didn't spend that long in coaching before he ended up getting the head job in Jacksonville. And I would say Del Rio, I thought, had a pretty auspicious beginning to his coaching career. But he was another guy that just played forever. He was a really smart player and understood a lot. And that's, and he had been a coordinator, though, too, and a very successful coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of these guys, Seth, like Jack Del Rio, you mentioned Jack Del Rio. I'm like, well, ultimately, he never got to where Jacksonville was hoping that he would get as a head coach. But you're right. He was not a bad head coach, I didn't think. I think a lot of these guys, it comes down to, do they have a certain level of competence? Do they have a certain level of leadership? And then do they get a quarterback? That's the thing. There's a leadership and competency level that gets you inside the velvet rope, but you don't get into the VIP area until you get a quarterback. So you mentioned Josh McCown. We shouldn't move off of this until we address the Josh McCown part of this, because we kind of drove by that. Josh McCown, I think it was Peter Schrager who reported yesterday that McCown is expected to be in the mix for the head coaching job, or at least get an interview for the head coaching job. I was not surprised by this at all, because he got an interview last year for the head coaching job. Why would he not get one year later? He's somebody who is, we know Jack Easterby is very fond of Josh McCown. He was plucked off the Eagles practice squad to come here and be on the practice squad with the Texans at the age of 40.
Or maybe he really sucked in that interview. He was like, what's your, so tell us, Josh, what is your motivational strategy going to be? Cupcakes for good deeds, something
good.
Like that. I don't know. Maybe he was in out of his league. He didn't. Yeah. So he's, for a guy that wants to be a head coach, he took a gap year between playing and perhaps getting back into coaching. That's not a good sign.
Watch his son play high school football. Family football, Seth.
Yeah, none of these other coaches ever have a hard time watching their sons play high school football or anything like that.
I'm just telling you what he did.
Sacrifice? What about the whole sacrifice part?
What would fans say if Hines Ward or Josh McCown were hired as the head coach of the Houston Texans?
I would say it's honestly, the level of discontent would be higher for Josh McCown than for Hines Ward. And I think some of that would be justified. For one, Hines Ward has actually been coaching, at least. I mean, there's things, no matter how much you know about the NFL, and I think any teacher or coach listening would agree with me right now, no matter how well prepared you are on the technical side of things or what have you, until you're standing in front of a room full of people that you're trying to get to all pay attention and to convey a bunch of information to, there's things you just don't know about teaching or coaching. And they're teaching and coaching ideally are the same thing. So that part would bother me. That Josh McCown, just because you like him and you think he's got a great personality and he's a heck of a dude, that somehow that translates into immediately knowing everything you need to know to be a head coach. That bothers me a little bit. So at least Hines Ward would have had that. And then I think the other part of Hines Ward is simply a lot of people, whether this is fair or not, I think a lot of people would say, yeah, well, Hines Ward was a fringe Hall of Fame caliber player.
Yep.
Whereas Josh McCown is Josh McCown.
Yeah, I mean, Josh McCown did hang around the league for a long, long time as a backup quarterback. Like, I'm comfortable with Josh McCown's background as a player qualifying him to someday be a head coach.
Yeah.
Just not in 2022. I'll tell you what, I would take Josh McCown as the offensive coordinator for the Texans.
I would. That would be fine.
I would be
okay with that.
Yep.
Like a Kellen Moore type thing.
Yes.
Well, that's where, in backup quarterback, now, see, I don't subscribe to the, hey, Hines Ward is a great name, a player whose name I know, because I think backup quarterbacks a lot of times are the smartest football guys, because they've had to learn multiple schemes. They've kind of had to really dial in the mental side, because the physical side can't do it for them. They're the opposite of Brett Favre. You know, Brett Favre took forever to actually learn the game of football. Josh McCown had to learn it really quickly just to stick around. So, yeah, I don't. But the difference, you know, David Culley said it this year. Another thing that he divulged that he just didn't know at all was, because he had never been a coordinator before, he'd never actually had to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
He'd always had to make suggestions, and then somebody else makes the decisions. The great thing about being a coordinator, isn't even necessarily how you do as a coordinator, because there are variables beyond your control there. But just learning what it's like to make decisions, have it be your decision and own it, whether it goes right or wrong, that's a certain amount of pressure, and there's stress that goes with that and lessons you learn from that that a guy like Josh McCown or David Culley or Hines Ward just isn't going to have, even if it's only for a year because they haven't been coordinators.
Or Gerard Mayo might be the most relevant name we should be tossing around when it comes to this topic.
Right, Tomlin had at least been a coordinator for a short period of time.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light.
A lot of people asking about Joe Lombardi.
Yeah.
I think the most notable thing about Joe Lombardi was that he had a couple of stints as the Saints quarterbacks coach, working with Drew Brees. And I'm guessing that really intrigues Caserio, because I kind of subscribe to this theory, even though it's not hard, fast, and absolute. But because people love hiring offensive coordinators, it's scary to hire a defensive-minded head coach where you might have your offensive coordinator plucked out from underneath you as soon as things go well.
Yeah.
Like with the Titans, and it worked out all right for the Titans. It took a little while. It took a half a year, really, to figure it out for the Titans. So the thing with somebody like Joe Lombardi or any of these offensive-minded guys is that even if they are not the coordinator, they can keep some consistency and terminology and just an overall philosophy the same. So I'd be really curious, like, what Joe Lombardi can tell Nick Caserio about working with Drew Brees. How did you help him get or stay where he is? All of those things.
Or maybe even more relevant, working with Justin Herbert this last year. You know, he was the OC in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Justin Herbert is starting in the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a consideration as far as if you have a defensive-minded head coach, you're probably going to have to swap out offensive coordinators. Look, plenty of guys, especially if they're really good coaches, have dealt with it and dealt with it just fine. But that's where it's nice sometimes. Maybe you get a guy that's already proven that he can't be a head coach or that nobody's going to hire him as a head coach, and that's your offensive coordinator. They'll stick around.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday. We're getting some good texts this morning. 713-572-4610 if you want to hit us up on the text page. Back to Deshaun Watson, Seth. These questions from the previous segment, if you just waking up, you weren't following the news this weekend. Reports are Miami is chances are they're going to stick with Tua in 2022. So that would mean that they're not trading for Deshaun Watson. If that's the case, then who would be the teams that might be in on Deshaun Watson? Text message, would you consider doing a trade with the Giants for only the two first-rounders they have this year since they are so high? Seth, would you do a trade of Deshaun Watson for the fifth and the seventh picks in this draft?
A few weeks ago.
Oh boy, God, they could come out looking so stupid in that.
Why?
Because go back. Even the hit rate of picks in the top 10 is not great. It could be where you traded Deshaun Watson for two busts in the top 10, and that's it.
Oh well, I think Nick's going to trade back a lot in this draft.
Okay,
I think if they end up getting a Deshaun Watson haul, I think Nick's going to go for quantity.
Gotcha.
And you're going to get a whole lot more 1 year veterans in free agency. Like without spending, like they're going to try to just create this nice little environment. So, but you're saying the Texans could end up looking bad if they whiff on a couple of those high picks.
You're getting two swings, but you bring up a good point. They could move pick. So just yes or no. I am Nick Caserio.
Yeah,
and anonymous New York GM, and I say, hey man, we're really looking to unload Deshaun. How about the fifth and the seventh overall pick, and that's it for Deshaun? Let's get this done.
I'm right now, unless there's more clarity on the legal situation, I've set my floor as two first round picks,
and those are two high immediate first round.
Yeah, I know those are no, and I'm saying I might be. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell any of the teams this, okay? I don't want to show my hand too quick. But there's kind of a risk management here where I'm half nervous that Deshaun will just get stubborn again and want to kick this thing down the road another year. And where does that leave you come 2022 season?
Wow.
There's just absolutely no way to predict how this is actually going to go. That I'd be tempted to move on with my life for two first.
There's part of me that would be real nervous about being a team trading for him if he was of mind to sit out for 2 years from football, like being cool.
Well, that
sitting
team's
out for
not going
to
believe it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That team won't think that they're.
What if the tech? Another text. What if the Texans? What's that?
Look, whoever trades for Deshaun Watson understands that the previous vision of Deshaun has not gone unblemished.
Fair enough. No, it's a good point.
He always wanted to be legendary, and he's definitely legendary.
No doubt
now.
About it.
He is
a
legendary case of something.
He's a legendary massage patient. Yes.
Yeah.
What if the Texans can't find a suitable trade partner and we can't move him this season? What are the options?
Yeah, that's what I'm scared of, man.
Yeah,
what I'm telling you.
The options are you pay him $35 million to sit at home or you cut him. I'm guessing they would pay him $35 million to sit at home.
Well, and that's where it comes down to. This was a little game of chicken this last year where Deshaun showed up. It was the smart thing to do. The Texans wanted to trade him, so they don't want him to get injured, so they don't want to push him out onto the field. But maybe that's where the game of chicken goes out. Next year is where the Texans say, okay, cool, you're going to come play for us.
Yep.
And then, again, James Harden's already set the precedent. All Deshaun has to do is go out and intentionally suck. And you might say, hey, boy, James Harden's playing a dangerous game going out and intentionally sucking, right? Oh, no, he ended up on the on one of the best teams in the NBA.
So I think
the same. Deshaun's already seen that. He might just go out and intentionally suck for a little bit.
Oh, my God, that would be something. That would be a story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.